The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is repentance a condition for receiving justification? And what do different books in the Bible say about this? Welcome to Grace in Focus. Thank you for being here today. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find out more about us at our website, faithalone.org. You'll find a free subscription to our Grace in Focus magazine. That's if you live in the lower 48 states. It's still free in other locations, but you have to pay for postage. Subscribe today at faithalone.org. Now with today's discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Hi, Bob. We're continuing our discussion on your book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege, available at faithalone.org.
And we're in, what, chapter 8 on repentance?
Yeah, and we're going to continue that discussion. And now we're going to look at repentance in the various books in the Bible. And so let's start off with the book that we all go to for evangelism, the Gospel of John. So what can you tell me about repentance in the Gospel of John?
Yeah, that's a good question. And basically, the big question we're talking about today is, and we ended the last show with this, how do we know that repentance is not a condition for everlasting life or not a condition for justification or regeneration, the new birth? And when you look at the Gospel of John, I think that's one easy way we know. In other words, John 20:31, these things I have written, referring to the eight signs in John's gospel. And ultimately, I would say there's more than that because all of the book is designed to lead people to faith in Christ. But these things I have written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So the purpose of John's gospel is that unbelievers might believe in Jesus and thereby have everlasting life. Believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, ties in with John 11:25-27, where Jesus makes two statements of eternal security. Ask Martha, do you believe this? And then she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. She knows that the Christ, the Son of God, guarantees eternal security to all who believe in him. And so when we know that's the purpose of John's gospel, then we have a simple question. How many times do the words repent and repentance occur in John's gospel? What would you say, Mike?
Well, I guess, first of all, that verse you just cited, it didn't have repent in there either. So it wasn't his purpose to get people to repent.
There's your first clue.
Yeah. These things are not written so that you may repent.
Right.
Yeah, these things are written so that you may believe.
Yeah. And another clue is how many times the word believe occurs. 99 or 100 times, depending on whether you're in the critical text or the majority text. Let's say 100 times in John's gospel, the word believe occurs.
Right.
But how many times do the words repent and repentance occur?
I think in your language, nada, zilch, zero, zip.
Zero, zip. None. There's just not a one. That's quite telling. Let's say I was going to write a book about the most outstanding generals of World War II. Now, I've read a bit about George Patton.
Yeah.
And I saw the movie Patton. I really like that movie, and I think very highly of Patton. Let's say someone wrote a book about famous World War II generals or most important World War II generals and didn't mention Patton. Would it be possible to conclude that the author thought Patton was one of the greatest generals of World War II? He just left him out.
No, because that's the whole point of your book, was to
right.
write who are the greatest generals, and this person left it out.
So right. therefore, obviously, by silence, the person is saying Patton, in his opinion, was not one of the greatest generals of World War II. In the same way, if John is telling us what we must do to be saved, and he never once mentions repentance, then repentance cannot be a condition of everlasting life. If it were, John has deceived us, because John never mentions it. And by the way, just so we know that John's familiar with repentance, it's pretty clear that in John chapter 1, there are two disciples of John the Baptist who hear John say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," and points to Jesus, and they go from being John the Baptist's disciple to Jesus' disciple, and one of those two, most people feel, is the Apostle John. He had been taught repentance by John the Baptist. He had been involved with the baptism of repentance. And of course, John wrote the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, he uses the verb repent metanoia 12 times. But not once does he mention repent or repentance in the Gospel of John. That's quite telling. It's clear, then, that for him, the only condition of everlasting life is faith in Christ. It's not turning from my sins. It's not commitment of my life. It's not surrender. It's not obedience. It's not perseverance. It's just believing in Jesus Christ. And the moment I believe in him, I have everlasting life.
Yeah, so the lack of repentance in the Gospel of John is not an unintentional oversight. It was a conscious decision on his part because he was familiar with the term and the concept, is what you're saying.
Right, and if you read the Synoptic Gospels, there's lots of references to repentance in Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
And why is that? Because is the purpose of Matthew, Mark, and Luke different from the Gospel of John?
Yeah, exactly. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, like the rest of the New Testament, are discipleship books. Only the Gospel of John is evangelistic.
So without repentance, you will not be a successful disciple.
Ultimately, repentance, and we can get into that, but for the believer who is out of fellowship with God, repentance is the way to get back. That's Luke chapter 15 with the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. They have to come back to get back in fellowship with God. For the believer who's walking in fellowship with God, the only condition is, well, two conditions, walk in the light and confess our sins. 1 John 1:7, 1 John 1:9. And what's interesting is repentance doesn't occur in 1 John either.
Right.
And 1 John, the purpose of it, 1 John 1:3 and 4, is about fellowship with God. In order for a believer to have fellowship with God, they only need to repent if they get out of fellowship. If I'm walking in fellowship, I confess my sins. Now, some people would say, well, confession always has some element of repentance in it. Well, maybe, but again, the word repentance doesn't occur in 1 John. I would say confessing my sins, I'm not really turning from my sins because I haven't gone intentionally into the far country. I'm walking in the light, and I recognize some sin in my life that I haven't intentionally sinned. If I intentionally sin, okay, now I've walked in the far country. Now I do need to repent.
There are a couple of Grace Evangelical Society regional conferences coming up soon. First, August 16th through 18th at Bismarck, North Dakota, Eternal Treasures, a study on rewards for the faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Also, Dallas-Fort Worth, October 25th and 26th in East Dallas at Ridgepoint Fellowship. There is more information and a brochure on each of these at our website, faithalone.org/events. So please come yourself or invite others who are close by. Find out more, faithalone.org/events.
So repentance is not necessary for everlasting life. Turning from sins is not necessary for everlasting life.
Right.
The Gospel of John leaves that out. And this is not, I guess some critics say, well, this is an argument from silence. But how would you respond to that?
Yeah, Zane Hodges wrote a book called Harmony with God where he talks about repentance and salvation. And he said it's not an argument from silence. It's an argument about silence. And he used another example.
Yeah.
I used the Patton example in World War II, but he used a different example, but it's a good point. Sometimes silence speaks loudly.
Right. And in this case, when their whole book is written to tell people how to have everlasting life, if repentance is needed and you purposely left that out, that tells you something that is not needed for everlasting life.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So we shouldn't have to go past the Gospel of John to say this proves it. And if you look at Luke Acts, what you find is repentance does occur a fair amount of time in Luke Acts. In fact, I believe it's number one in the New Testament for uses of metanoia and metanoia. But it's an issue related to physical life, physical death, blessings of God versus not having his blessings. And so the issue is never in Luke Acts you need to repent to have eternal life.
And how about some of these references to repentance? Were they directed at individuals or were they a corporate repentance?
Both. Many of them were corporate, like we talked in the last show about Luke 13:3, Luke 13:5. Mark 1:14 and 15 is talking about the good news that the kingdom has drawn near. Therefore, they're corporately being called upon to repent and believe that the good news of the kingdom coming. There's lots of references in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, to corporate repentance. Israel was called corporately to repentance. And you find that in the book of Acts as well. In the beginning chapters of the book of Acts, or the beginning half of Acts, the apostles are reoffering the kingdom to Israel. it was still possible that Christ would return in the first century if Israel had repented after it crucified its Messiah. They still could have had Jesus return in their lifetime. But after these reoffers of the kingdom, which were tied to repentance, then the kingdom didn't come. But in terms of individuals, there are some examples of individuals being called to repent. For example, Simon the magician comes to faith in Acts 8. He's born again. He wanted to buy the gift to lay hands on people. They received the Spirit and then says, pray that this would be forgiven you and you'd be allowed to repent. I guess what Peter was thinking is just like Ananias and Sapphira, believers had died in Acts chapter 5 and didn't get an opportunity to repent. He's thinking this might happen with Simon the magician, a new believer, and he might just drop dead right there. Well, no, God did allow him time to repent, and I believe a man probably did repent. But repentance is both for individuals and corporate.
But never for everlasting life.
But never for everlasting
life. Okay. So how much does the Apostle Paul speak about repentance in his epistles?
It's funny. James Dunn talks about how there's, you might have the quote there, but he says,
it's a category strikingly absent from Paul.
Strikingly absent. If I remember right, I think there are four or five uses of metanoia and metanao in Paul, and none of them are in the justification section, for example, in Romans 3:21 to 4:25. None of them are dealing with what you need to do to be justified or what you need to be born again. So Paul, I think, is very telling, and the fact that James Dunn would say it's strikingly absent is a good point. By the way, Paul defends his gospel in the book of Galatians. Zero uses of repentance in Galatians. That's very telling. In Galatians 3, 6 through 14, there's nine references to believe or believing or believer or faith. Zero references to repentance.
So interesting. It seems like repentance as needed for everlasting life is really a creation from tradition, not from something that people have gotten from the Bible. How would you wrap this up today, Bob?
What I would say is that repentance is turning from sins and that repentance is never a condition of everlasting life. Repentance is a condition of fellowship with God for the one who's out of fellowship with Him. And it's a condition of God's blessing and escaping judgment in this life and escaping premature death. It's clearly seen in the Gospel of John that the only condition of everlasting life is faith in Christ.
God's grace is free for salvation.
And let's
keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, what judgment or judgments will people experience after this life? Join us for that discussion. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.